Hello everyone, this is Maria.
And this is Jordan.
Welcome back. We're back.
Yes,
we're back.
We Yay. Are. Year later, but we're back.
Year later or longer than a year?
I was having
this discussion with you before we started recording. Everything before you Chicago. I remember things before you Chicago and after you Chicago. Everything in between is a blur.
Yeah.
I recall nothing.
It's okay. That's why we're here today. We're going to, you know, rehash our past
experiences.
Year. Yeah.
Yes.
And share them with anyone who cares to listen.
Yeah. And look ahead to this upcoming season of episodes, which I think will be a very exciting one as Jordan writes her thesis and I try to find a job.
Both equally exciting but stressful.
Yeah, exactly.
Events.
But all good things. Yeah. So I guess we'll dive in. Should I go since I'm technically done with grad school?
Yeah, why not? Miss Master?
Miss Master, yes. Or just call me Master, whatever you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated from UChicago in June and I got my master's in art history. I wrote my thesis on Mona Hatoum. I actually did an episode on her in season one, so for anyone who's interested, you can go check that out. Although I will say I'm way more knowledgeable now, so you can just listen to me at the moment. But my thesis was a journey. For those of you who remember, my program was 9 months long. Kicked my, I won't say what, but it was a very gratifying experience ultimately because I wrote a thesis in like 6 months, which was insane to think about.
Yeah.
But it was good. And what I wrote about basically was kind of talking about the politics of globalization in the museum, especially in the Euro-American framework. And kind of exploring, you know, to what extent is globalization a good thing? To what extent is it performative? To what extent is it politics? And how are artists who are often underrepresented marketed under that statement of globalization in a larger museum? How are they taken advantage of, or how are they placed on a pedestal to forward a museum's mission? And so Mona Hatoum being a more internationally recognized artist, I kind of unpacked her exhibition from 2015 and 2016 at Tate Modern and the Centre Pompidou and basically dissected all of the politics of the museum through her work. So that's the gist of 50 pages of writing.
Yeah, it sounds so fascinating. I know we obviously, you know, talked during the process and I know like a little bit of it. I'm still meaning to read it though.
How dare you? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But
I don't think I've looked at it since submitting it, so you're good.
That's very fair. And, you know, just in case we have any like super invested, ambitious listeners out there, is there somewhere online that they can access it?
It's supposed to be available on the repository at some point. It's still not.
Okay.
But I think what I'll do is I have my own PDF version of it. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably just create a link of that and we'll add it to our link tree, which, wow, it's been a year since I've said that. We'll add our link to a link tree.
Yeah.
Feels forever ago. But yeah, if anyone's interested, I will add it and you can check it out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, because,
yeah.
I mean, I know how much work you put into it, how big of an undertaking it was to do it in that condensed time. And yeah, you should be really, really proud of yourself, which I know you are, but
Thank
I want
you.
Other people to also
Thank
be
you.
Proud.
I really appreciate it and I appreciate your support.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, tell us about you. What have you been up to? How was your first year of grad school at UT Austin?
Yeah, so it was good. I'm in a little bit more of a traditional type program with
mm-hmm.
2 years. So the first year was split up into different just coursework. Every master's student does a sort of methodology course the first semester where you're just, you know, introduced to different methodologies for art history.
Mm-hmm.
And then UT is really nice in that you can choose to be on a general track if you want, where like maybe you don't necessarily know what you want to specialize in yet. However,
Sure.
if you do know, like myself, I'm on the modern track. And
Nice.
so basically, like I was required to take one course outside of the modern area, and then all the UT students, well, art history, of course, are required to take two outside art history courses, so in different departments, which I really like. And so, yeah, so I did that over my fall and spring.
Sure.
And yeah, it was really great. I mean, people in my cohort are so nice, so interesting. I mean, I'm sure you also were able to meet a lot of interesting people at UChicago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, given that UT is a pretty similar size university to UF, I felt like there was more diversity here. And that, I don't know, it could just have been coincidental, but I really feel like, yeah, I feel like there was more diversity, which was really amazing.
That is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, like so cool to meet different people from so many different countries, so many different studying, so many different like specialty areas.
Yeah.
So very cool. And then yeah, so this next upcoming year, I am going to be taking two more, well, actually, I'm taking one more seminar in fall,
Okay.
and then I'm pretty much done with my art history coursework. And
Ooh.
then I'm going to be doing a one-on-one reading tutorial with a professor. So that'll be where I meet with her once a
Kickstart the
week.
writing.
Yeah, and she kind of, I've like given her some topics for things I want to know more about or like want to read specifically. She'll find different things for me to read, and then I guess we talk about that. So that'll kind of help in my thesis preparation. And then fall semester as well is when we put our committee together and put our prospectus, which is like the proposal for the thesis. And then fall, just writing, just the thesis writing, or spring, oh my gosh.
Spring, you mean, right? Yeah, just the
Yes.
writing.
Yes, just the writing. See, I'm so excited
Wow.
about writing, apparently. I'm pushing it to fall.
I mean, once you start writing, you'll go through a couple phases. The first one is, oh my God, finally I get to write. And then you're just gonna reach a point where you've been writing about the same person for so long that, or the same topic for so long that you're just like, I never want to think about this person ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess for the listeners, I can kind of tell about what I'm thinking about doing. We were discussing that I think this will be a subject of a future podcast episode, so I can go more in depth about it,
Yes.
but I'm going to be focusing on the Danish modern artist Per Kirkeby. And surprisingly, I have not talked about him in any of the episodes last season. So I'm super excited to do my thesis on him,
Yeah.
because he's pretty well known in Scandinavia and in Denmark, of course, but for whatever reason, the US just like has not really given him as much kind of spotlight as
Until
Europe
you.
has until me. Yeah, this will be a subject of another episode, like I said, but UT was very generous in giving me some money to go look at his art in person.
Very exciting.
So that was really, really amazing. Really,
Yeah.
was not expecting it, actually. But
I
yeah,
know, I
that's
remember when you were applying to it, you were thinking, ugh, there's no way. Only the PhD students get
right.
this funding. And then you did.
Yeah, and like even a professor told me like, oh, Jordan, I don't know. I mean, we have to prioritize the PhDs. And, you know, I'm like, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw my application out there. And then it ended up working out. And so,
There you go.
you know, it's like, it seems like so cliche, but I mean, it really is a good lesson. And like, just go for it. Like, because you really
Yeah.
never know what's going to happen. So,
I know. Well, I'm very excited to hear more about this in the next episode, and I'm sure our listeners will be as well. I've only seen pictures so far, so I'm looking forward to more description
Yeah.
of you visiting an archive for the first time. Very
Yes.
nice. I still have not visited an archive. One day.
One day.
One day.
It's very inspiring.
Yeah. What else? Have you been doing anything else this summer?
Nothing else super exciting besides I was a dog sitter for a few weeks out of out of my summer.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just to make a little money. And then actually within the last week, so pretty week as of when we're recording, but it'll still be recent by the time the episode premieres. I started working at a little gallery in
Oh, right.
Austin.
Yes, you told me about this.
Yeah, so it's, relatively small gallery, but it's been around for like 20 years or
Wow.
something. So I think the gallery owner is, pretty well known in like the Austin art circle. So yeah, I'm just, gonna be kind of like running the communication between the artists, exhibitors, and the gallery owner, making sure everything runs smoothly, kind of, just your standard like gallery coordinator role, which
Yeah.
I'm really excited though.
Very exciting.
I had been kind of hoping that I could find kind of a chill job for this year, just because I do really want to prioritize my time for my thesis work because that is so important to me. So I'm trying to not overload myself.
Right, of course. I
Yeah.
think you'll be fine. And like they'll certainly understand that you are a student, and especially one who's in the process of writing her thesis right now. So
Yeah.
worst comes to worst, but you'll be good.
Yeah. And then what, yeah, so what have you been doing this summer then after graduation, besides celebrating?
Celebrating. More like having an existential crisis, but let's call it celebrating. No, I'm kidding. So I started an internship with this consultancy group called the Network for Culture and Arts Policy. And the founders are actually UChicago alum. They went through the same program that I went through. And I am presently a research writer on their latest project, which is their client is the city of Fresno, California, and we are in the process of developing a cultural arts plan for
Cool.
Fresno. And it's been really exciting because on the one hand, I never realized the gravity of this kind of project. I never realized that cities have to have a cultural arts plan, like it's a mandatory thing.
Oh.
And it's just a very, very exciting process to be a part of. The city, it has a population of I think 500,000 people.
Oh wow,
So
I didn't know that.
I know, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. The research has been really exciting. Learning about the history of Fresno has been very exciting. And honestly, they're just such a fantastic team. And the work has really opened my eyes to a different line of work within my art history background that I never would have considered before. So now I'm really interested in that field. Now I'm interested in perhaps even pursuing job opportunities in that aspect of looking to consultancy groups that work with the community and work
Yeah.
towards equitable access to culture and the arts, because that's kind of something that I'm really passionate about. So who knows? But it's been really exciting and it's been really fun working with them. So I'm looking forward to it. We're in the research phase right now, and then in a couple months I'll be one of the writers of the plan, which is exciting. So yeah. See what
Yeah,
happens.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It really goes to show that even doing a degree like art history or anything else in the humanities, it really doesn't limit you
Not at
to
all.
only being an academic or like only working in a museum. And those, of course, are great, but
Right.
yeah, it's yeah, you're just proving that you can branch out and you can do kind of whatever, and you never
Exactly.
know what is gonna pique your interest.
Yeah, and your skill set is wanted in more places than you think it is. I think
Yeah.
is what I've learned so far from this experience. So, yeah, it's exciting, and fingers crossed on what comes next. Who knows?
Yeah, so like one thing that I kind of learned or figured out over this past year was that I don't know for sure right now if I want to stay in the academic world and be a professor, which
welcome to the dark side.
I know, as you surely remember and the listeners might remember as well, I had thought that I was kind of interested in going that route. And, you know, never say never. I'm not like totally foregoing that idea, but I don't know. Right now, that just, it doesn't really excite me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in this space of like, I don't know which way I'm gonna go now. Honestly, my experience at the archive and at those different museums was really fun, and I'm like, oh, should I look at or consider museum work now?
Yes.
So who knows that, and I mean, obviously, you know, I've got 2 more semesters, so I still have some time before I have to like really start looking for a job or anything. But yeah, that'll be potentially a new direction for me to look.
I mean, I don't think that your experience is an isolated one. I feel like a lot of people our age, or at least in our generation of those graduating in art history, at least, I don't know about the rest of the, I guess, majors, but we've all kind of gotten tired of academia.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you this throughout the year, but you know, we went to UF. UF's a public university, and that was its own kind of experience. UChicago is private. It basically has an Ivy League mentality. It was a whole other beast to deal with, and one that I wasn't necessarily prepared for. It really shocked me how, I guess, you know, you had people who were absolutely ingrained in their research and it was their whole entire lives, and academia was their whole entire lives. And I just was not that person. I was not that person going in, and I'm even more so not that person getting out of it. So it was really hard to kind of belong in that environment. And you know, to an extent, I'm extremely grateful for it. It was a kind of challenge that maybe I needed at this point in my life, and I feel so much better for it. But at the same time, it was really draining to be in that setting, and it just kind of reaffirmed the fact that I don't think I can ever be in academia. But I'm also in a point in my life where I'm exploring things beyond what I thought before. I mean, I thought that I would work in a museum or a gallery, but now doing this internship and exploring this, you know, research community aspect, I'm thinking of other avenues that I didn't consider before. So, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah. And one thing too that I saw in my experience at UT was, you know, because they also have a PhD program, a number of my friends or even just like classmates were PhD students, and even they were like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do after this. Like, they, you know, were 2-3 steps ahead of us, or not necessarily ahead of us, but just, you know, at a different point.
Right.
And they're also acknowledging, like, yeah, there are so many people getting PhDs right now. They're, especially, I feel like, for modern people, like people who are modernists, there's so many people doing that right now, and there's just not enough professor jobs. And it's like, you know, there's obviously nothing wrong with being an adjunct or anything like that. Like, those are needed positions, but they just...
Yeah. They're not sustainable.
No, they don't pay well. And it's like, I know for myself, I don't necessarily want to put myself in that position. Yeah.
That's another thing that I think the older we get, the more we struggle with and have to prioritize is, you know, your whole life you're trying to silence the people who say that your career is not going to pay you properly, and, you know, you're trying to prove them wrong, and you're doing what you love. But then as you're in your, as you're approaching your mid to late 20s and you're trying to find a job, and you're seeing the income disparity between the arts and other fields, it's really hard. It's really hard to still be passionate about something that you know is not going to be sustainable for you in terms of income. I mean, the fact that we're there are job positions that I'm looking at in bigger cities like New York or in California that are, the stereotypical museum entry-level job that would be a starting salary of 40,000. And that's just not sustainable. Like, I can't survive off of 40,000 in New York City. That's just not gonna happen. And right now, the average rent is getting so much worse, and not to be like an economic Debbie Downer right now, but I mean, this is currently the circumstance that we're in, and it's hard. So if anyone else is out there is also experiencing this, I'm right there with you. We're right there with you.
It really, it's like a balancing act of like finding something that we are still, interested in and care about, but can actually support us.
Yeah, and you start to think, I mean, do I want to live to work or do I want to work to live? You know, I mean, I want to love my job. I want to enjoy what I'm doing, but I don't want it to be my life. I want to enjoy the life that I have. I want to travel. I want to explore things. I did not have a life at UChicago. So that reaffirmed that I want one. So it's a weird balance to figure out post-graduation, and you're gonna, if anyone else is also in that post-graduation bubble, yeah, having all of these questions and having this crisis in your head is totally normal.
One thing too that has kind of soured me a little on academia also is kind of what you were touching at with that like work-life balance, because I feel like I was pretty good in terms of scheduling my personal time. Obviously, I love watching movies and films, and that is important to me. And so I was like, you know what? No reading. I'm not gonna ever prioritize a reading at 10 p.m. Like, if I want to watch a movie, I'm gonna watch a movie, and the reading can wait till tomorrow or whatever. But I feel like I'm definitely in the minority in that case. Like, so many people, whether it's grad students or like postdocs or like early professors, you constantly feel like you have to go, go and like keep doing the absolute most and like push yourself. And it's just so unhealthy. And like, I mean, even some of my other friends, like in my cohort, we've like talked about kind of finding that balance. And I'm telling all of them, like, stop working after dinner. Or like, or like, maybe if you're a night owl, maybe working at 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. does work for you. That's just not me. But like, you have to be able to find a way to turn it off.
Yeah,
And that can be,
absolutely.
it can be really hard in like the just academic world. So
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Because that's exactly how I felt going into the program. It's 9 months long. It's at a so-called prestigious university. I felt like I had so much to prove that anytime I wasn't in class, I was doing readings. I think my first 4 weeks there, 3 to 4 weeks, I read upwards of like 300, 400 pages a week. I was
Oh
doing
my God.
readings 2 weeks in ahead, 2 weeks ahead. You know, that I don't know where I had that energy, but I just poured it into reading and reading and reading and feeling like I have to prove myself. And then the halfway point comes along because it's also a quarter system.
Oh,
So
right.
I didn't realize that I just, wasted half of my quarter not enjoying myself. But the halfway mark was my birthday, actually. And so I had a really lovely birthday weekend, and I was able to get away from campus and have a life again. That when I got back, to be fully transparent, I just collapsed mentally because I was in a bubble of doing work that I didn't know how to do anything else. I didn't know how to enjoy myself outside of that because I was so consumed by wanting to do well. And so the rest of that quarter was rough, just coming to terms with that. Spring, I did a much better job. I will say as a result of me kind of overworking myself, this isn't to say you should overwork yourself, but I decided to start working on my thesis in the fall. Usually with this program, they tell you to start working on it in the spring.
I don't know how you could do that.
I don't know either. But, and, you know, a lot of my classmates and my peers really struggled and were really burnt out by the end, which I wasn't. I was burnt out in the beginning. but what I did was I decided, and this is, I am one of the people who knew at least a very general idea of what she wanted to pursue in her thesis. So many people went into this not knowing.
Yeah.
So this doesn't work for everybody, but I just committed myself to thinking, okay, whatever, I'm going to find a class that I really enjoy, and I'm going to write a paper in that class that will turn into my thesis. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, by February, when the first 10 to 15 pages were due, I had already written 15 pages back in November, you know, for my final paper. So I went to 20, I got to 25, and I, like, beat the deadlines. And it was really nice because at points where I didn't feel like writing, when there was a deadline coming up, I could just not write because I was ahead of the deadline. So it was really rewarding because by the end of spring quarter, I was done. You know, those last couple of weeks before the graduation ceremony, I was able to turn in all my projects and just relax. But then so many others I knew were just down to the wire writing their thesis and, like, not to say anything bad towards them, but I mean, that's how the program is structured. And that's where I feel like it lacks. We need to start writing before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you kind of have to hit the ground running, which is intense.
And I think what you brought up about kind of starting earlier is really smart, really good advice for even if people are in that condensed program like you were, or in a more traditional 2-year program like mine, picking a class that will allow you to write about the topic that you might be interested in for your thesis is so helpful because you put that paper that you've already written towards your thesis, and it's like, obviously, you might still have to work on it a little, but, like, you do get a head start on it.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of the thing that people also need to get over is your first few pages don't have to be good. You know, I knew so many people who I was – so we would – I think one of the valuable parts of the program I was in is that we're put into groups throughout the year, and we peer review each other's preliminary pages, like the first few 15 to 20 pages. And what was so great about that was being able to get feedback from so many people. And also what I noticed was so many couldn't even meet that page mark because they were so dead set on the writing being good. I mean, a few people whose papers I'd read, the first few pages were gorgeous, like final product, essentially. Mine were kind of mediocre. So I guess the lesson here is just start writing. It doesn't have to be great. It has to be a foundation for you to continue building on.
Right.
And that's what I had. You know, my class paper was good enough to get a great grade, but it wasn't thesis level yet. And I was okay with that. I just let it be. And I just let it, you know, be that basis, be that foundation for a while. And I just continued building on it. And it ended up being something really great.
Yeah.
So
I've like also kind of done like a similar thing to you of like getting like a good paper written, but like, obviously I know I'm going to continue to work on it. And I mean, like we've said a few times, I'll talk about this in our next episode, but yeah, I mean, I think overall though, I am looking forward to the thesis process because I mean, ultimately, like, I do really like writing, even though when you're doing it, I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. But then I do really like it. And I've realized that is one of the parts about academia that I do like is that heavy research and stuff. And it's kind of just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's to say that I'm excited for this next year.
Yeah, you should be. Don't go into it feeling sad.
Yeah.
Or scared. You'll be fine. Everyone is in the same boat. Everyone is, you know, kind of wondering whether their paper is going to be good enough, and you end up creating a very incredible, you know, collection of work. and research and just acknowledge that even if it's not there yet, it will be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess this wraps up episode one. I don't know how long this ended up being. We just kind of decided to talk. apologies if the audio is a little not great. I have a MacBook and I can't find my USB-C port. So I could... Classic Apple.
I know.
So I couldn't plug in my microphone, but hopefully this was good enough. By episode two, we will be much better. But it is great to be back, and it was great talking to you again, Jordan. I miss this.
I know.
Yeah.
Maria will be visiting me in Austin soon, though, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, too. Who knows? Maybe we can record that episode in person. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. So have a good rest of your day, everyone, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, see ya. Bye.